Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for this week's matchup show with my co-host, Fraser Tafar. Fraser, how you doing?
Doing good, Ken. Glad I could be a little better. Ravens are going through a real rough patch right now. Most recent one in a couple of years, but still got to look forward to this game and hoping we can talk about what the defense could do to maybe get bounce back from really hard start to the season.
Yeah, we're certainly hoping they bounce back, but we're having a year in the shoes of a lot of other teams that are in either a continual rebuild or a regular rebuild mode, where the Ravens haven't had to do this in a long time. The Ravens have to consider some tough questions this year about who they might have to let go, either in free agency or potentially by trade, and who they get to take a look at during the season, which I think is probably the most exciting thing about this season, is the amount of young talent on this roster is fairly significant. There's even more, another big layer of young talent that still exists at the practice squad level, and the Ravens are going to get a chance to look at a lot of that, for good or bad, in the coming weeks, given their injury situation.
Yep, and we'll get a lot into the developing talent in this podcast, but I think you make a really good point. We have a lot of talent on the practice squad, but then we also have a lot of talent in Lou coming back from injury as well. So it's gonna be good to evaluate what these players do, and if we get an early indicator that they might not be ready, then those returning injured players could get propped up a little more compared to if we had a long laundry list of people to get to where we need to be.
Right. All right. Well, let's look at the my first item, which is finding a pass rush unit that can generate pressure versus the Houston offensive line. Houston offensive line is not particularly good. They've invested a lot of draft capital in recent years trying to make it good, and they've had a lot of problems finding those guys. One big example was the number 15 overall pick taken in just 2022. So this is the same draft class as Travis Jones and Isaiah Likely and a number of the fourth-year guys who were about to, you know, potentially move on to free agency from the Ravens. He's already out there and is now on his third team. That's Kenyon Green. Unbelievably bad draft pick, frankly, with number 15 overall. But they've had a lot of problems on their offensive line, just staying healthy, keeping good people. Juice Scruggs is a name you'll hear, but it's just not a particularly talented offensive line. Laremy Tunsil is their best player, who is very good, but was drafted in the same draft as Ronnie Stanley. Stanley's obviously had much more in the way of injury problems. Tunsil has probably been the better player in aggregate. And if you remember back to the pot mask video, is probably the reason the Ravens ended up with Stanley over Tunsil.
Fair enough.
Talking about these guys, ideally, Travis Jones will be back playing with Peebles, and that would provide them one pairing at least that can really get after the passes on obvious passing downs. Would like to deactivate one of their nose tackles. Now, it's just going to be a one-for-one exchange because Travis Jones is a guy who would be coming back. But Travis Jones gives you a lot more than that, than just a regular nose tackle. And ideally, Josh Tupou would be not elevated this week and Travis Jones would be healthy.
I was going to be curious maybe if you were going to sit Okoye, if you'd prefer him. But I feel like he did show a little bit last week. Maybe not in the run game, but in the pass game a little more.
I would go with Okoye over Tupou. I think, for a lot of reasons, you get more information about a player you might be interested in keeping around. Tupou, however long he's here for the Ravens, he's a band-aid to a current situation. Whether it's the rest of this year or 3 weeks that he's still with the Ravens, he's a band-aid. Okoye is a player who could help you. I'd be fine if they went with Jones and three outside linebackers on some pass downs. Yeah. I think they're going to have to try and find out how to get Peebles in the game, which has been very difficult for them the first few weeks because he's a pure pass rush role. He's just not big enough to stand up against the run. Yep. And so they have to play him only on certain down and distances. Owe has proven value versus the run. And if Van Noy is back, that would be an enormous boost for the Ravens, both by addition and subtraction, because it means David Ajabo is out of the lineup and you end up with another guy who can hopefully play a meaningful number of snaps, and you don't end up with a tired crew. So those four outside linebackers, which would include Tavius Robinson and Mike Green, as well as Owe and Van Noy, would be a quality group. And for what it's worth, I mean, just to not just give you names that you may not know, and you know, talk about Scruggs and the loss of Kenyon Green and whatnot. Houston is 27th in PFF grade for pass blocking. As bad as we think the offensive line has played, and people want to put up clips of either Voorhees or Falele or even Linderbaum and their lousy pass blocking this year, or their lousy run blocking, or whatever they think they've done poorly. There's a whole lot of tiers that are lower down on what the Baltimore Ravens are doing on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I think Houston has visibly shown their struggles this year. I think the difference between what the Ravens' struggles are and the Houston struggles are a little more less evident. The Ravens have put up numbers on the offense. Houston hasn't done anything really to date. They just beat a Tennessee team 20-0. I mean, Tennessee doesn't seem to be really a formidable team, and only to put up 20 points, that's not really that encouraging. To your point, I do want to see peoples as much as we can on third and second and long. It's going to be tough because we do want to see a lot of the outside linebackers get some time, specifically Mike Green when he's not in a middle linebacker or he's dropping back into coverage. We want to see him go after the quarterback as much as he can. I'm excited to see where this pass rush can go moving forward. I know Matt Ibike is a big dark cloud looming over this team's head. Would you say maybe the team knows that Matt Ibike could be that it was a career ending injury and that could have potentially hurt the morale of the team?
I wouldn't know how to speculate on that, honestly. The morale of the team, I think everybody's very sad for the Matt Ibike situation. In terms of what it does to the Ravens schematically and what it does for them personnel wise, they're decimated by it. In terms of like how they should feel, I mean, it's still a next man up situation. You know, there are players on the team who actually benefit from Matt Ibike's absence, with Peebles probably being one of them in terms of getting more significant snaps. I don't think, you know, it never pays off for anybody to feel sorry for yourself or have low morale at any time in the league. I think that the worst kind of low morale comes when the players either are fighting amongst themselves, which I don't think is the case in the Matt Ibike thing, or the players are fighting with management in some way, whether it's their own positional coaches. And the best example I can give would be last year with Marcus Williams and Eddie Jackson not buying into Zach Orr's philosophy. But I think that kind of thing can be very demoralizing for a team. But I mean, it's horrible. It's a horrible personal thing. It's a tragedy, but I don't see it as something like that should reduce the Ravens' morale in some way.
Okay. Only because it's like it's a real blow to the team.
Oh, sure.
Regardless. Yeah. So it, you know, but moving on to my next point, I have the Ravens developing talent versus the Texans starters. We're going to see a lot of new faces on this defense. Whether in the sense of we've seen them in camp, we've seen them in the preseason, but now it's time to see them in the regular season where it technically does matter. I'm really interested to see how the secondary works out. We got Tampa, we got Kenyon Martin, and then a couple more guys from the practice squad. I know you can list them off if you want to right now.
Marquise Robinson very well could play this week. I think he's the guy I hope the Ravens get on the roster just to protect him. I mean, we're down. If we're down to Oruwariye being a guy that the Ravens need to pick up off the street, who's a 29-year-old guy who hasn't played well really ever. He did have 6 interceptions 1 year, but he really hasn't played well. He's got an average of 11.8 yards per target last year, and 9.7, I believe, is the number for his career. So he's not an exciting pickup at corner. If that guy is the next guy up off the street for the Ravens, then they really need to bring in a Marquise Robinson and just see what he can do. He played extremely well during the preseason and is a guy who recorded some of the fastest times during OTA moving around on the field. So I think he'd be an exciting guy to have active on Sunday.
Yeah, it really does suck that we had lost Kone and Longerbeam. Mm-hmm. to those injuries, because right now that would come in handy, especially not in the sense of trying, we are trying to win games, but even for evaluation purposes, this is
Sure.
perfect for them. But continuing on with the developing players, we have obviously the inside linebacker core. We're going to see Jay Higgins. We're going to see, oh my gosh, why am I blanking? Buchanan, Simpson, and then obviously we might see the special teams.
Jay Kummel.
We're going to see that.
Jay Higgins as well. So is active. He's played a lot of special teams so far and might play in this game.
Yeah, that was the first name. That was the first one that came to mind. I think he's going to naturally compete for that middle linebacker, Mike linebacker role with Buchanan. I'm going to see a lot of different looks with him. I'm interested to see the way they pluton the they. What's the word? Platoon the linebacker platoon. Corps.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And we have, and then obviously on the D line, Okoye, and then some younger guys, to Peoples, we talk about all the time. He almost feels like a veteran as much time he's gotten to this point, but just continuing to see the young talent develop in this, hopefully it's not time of transition, but seemingly getting to that point.
Yeah, that is exciting to me to see developing players get their real first chances with the team. And you can make a lot of decisions based on that. I mean, Jay Higgins, nobody wanted to draft the guy because of a 4.82 40 time he put up. If he looks a lot faster than that on the field, which I think he might, he's looked good on special teams so far, then he's a guy who could have a real future in this. And he's getting his real opportunity as a trial by fire in year one, which is not a common thing that the Ravens get that unless you're a very high round draft pick like Green or Starks. The amount they've leaned on Mike Green. I mean, we kind of take him as a starter right now, for what he is. And he's played 168 snaps in four NFL games at outside linebacker. I mean, I can't even tell you what a ridiculously high total that was. Tavius Robinson played a very high percentage of the snaps for a rookie outside linebacker. He's at 30%. Green right now, he's more like
55.
Yeah, 55 to 60%. Because they have had a lot of snaps this year. They've had averaged over 70 given up per game, but that's still fantastic.
Yeah, and to your point, we've lost the snap count battle tremendously this year. So it doesn't help that he's been on the field for all that. But at the end of the day, the more reps you get, the more better you get at your craft. So it's great that he's getting these reps. The circumstances might not be great, but I'm enjoying in this dark cloud that we have over us. I'm just enjoying this aspect, because we wouldn't get a chance to see this talent under normal circumstances when we're trying to compete for a playoff spot, championship, et cetera, division championship. So, and it's kind of annoying, and I don't know what other word to put there, but it's sad that we have to get to these circumstances to really give our young guys a shot.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I'll move on. My next matchup is Stroud versus the Ravens secondary. It does involve some of the players.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Just talked about, because the injury report is a litany of veterans. It's an entire list of veterans there. So Wiggins' health is paramount. I am absolutely shocked that Wiggins goes off the field in the cart, touching his elbow in a way it looks like there's some structural problem that he might lose the season to in so much pain that he has to be taken off in a cart. But then I did look back at the video, and it looked like Wiggins was saying he wanted to stay in the game before he went out. So it's like, first of all, great on both counts. Great that they took him out anyway, and great that he wanted to keep playing. And he's back at practice, and I think he might well be out there this next week. Now, we got all kinds of injuries in the rest of the secondary. Humphrey is certainly going to miss time. Awuzie has a injury now, another, I think it's a hamstring injury, it might be a groin because there's a lot of that going around. Hamilton has a groin injury suffered at practice, which that has got to completely suck, but he may or may not play on Sunday. We saw, you know, pretty good play out of TJ Tampa in very limited duty so far. So he's going to get his chance this weekend, no doubt, to be a starting corner. And Keon Martin, who played, he really stood out on the field to me against the Chiefs because the effort level was unbelievably high. A lot of the other players, I thought, just they didn't flash in terms of effort the same way. And I don't want to put them down for, you know, what was obviously an extremely demoralizing loss, but they were, a lot of the defensive linemen were just soundly beaten at the line of scrimmage, whereas Keaton Martin was flying all over the field trying to make plays. And, you know, he did some good tackling. It's not like he wasn't out of position once or twice himself, but right. I thought, he, you know, his effort level was high. And I want to see him on the field. Marquise Robinson, I think they need to bump him to the 53 or they're going to lose him. I mean, we're at that attrition point, that inflection point where the good preseason players will start getting taken. And, you know, it's not a warrior that most teams want. They want a player like Marquise Robinson, who has a four-year future with their team potentially. And if you're one of the teams that's already 1-3 or 0-4, that's exactly the kind of player you're looking for to try and bring onto your roster and make a commitment to. Lowry, I think, will definitely be active regardless of the – I can't see going into this game with only three safeties when you know Hamilton has a groin injury to start it. But they should have Lowry active for a couple of reasons. One is one of the only healthy bodies left. They're going to be carrying seven unhealthy bodies on their roster, I would project, this week. And they even have to make changes to put people on IR just to get Snoop Huntley onto the roster. So it's the things the Ravens are going to have to go through over the next couple of weeks are going to be some very unwieldy front office decisions. So players like Lowry, who are healthy and already on the 53, that's the kind of player who you definitely would want to be active. And the most important thing about that is these guys need to play as a unit, you know, understand their own responsibilities, trust the guy next to them in terms of what his responsibilities are. And that means if you're supposed to play inside leverage to make sure that guy doesn't get away except up the sidelines, you trust the guy behind you to make that tackle. And you hopefully can depend on each other in that way and don't each try and make the play individually. And that's the kind of things that can get you out into real bad problems with out of position secondary play. But I'm optimistic. We may or may not see Jair Alexander this week. I think they're at the point where they've either got to put Jair Alexander on IR, which I'm not sure if that does any good at this point, by the way. Because if he can't practice, he can't get better. I think the problem right now is Alexander is not playing good football in practice. Not that he's hurt. And so, he's got to get on the field because they need his roster spot very badly for other players.
Yeah, I think the problem is we've reached that point where honestly, I was surprised that Nate Wiggins didn't go out for the season because it looked like he broke his elbow on that play. And I was very concerned after that. When I saw that, I was like, okay, when it rains and pours, because Roquan had just went out at that time and it was real bad. But with the secondary, it's the Jair Alexander experiment has been disappointing to this point, but I think we kind of anticipated some time needed to be given to him, but the drop off in play has been significantly more than we expected. I think there could be a decision made soon if the Ravens are in contention by the bye. They could make either IR designation or either release him at that point, because if they really don't have a chance to get to the playoffs and really make some noise, then there's no point in spending money on a 30-year-old corner who's at the end of his career.
They don't have any clawback on that. I mean, they wouldn't make any incentive levels, but I don't think he'll do that already. So they don't have anything specifically to gain from releasing him. There are other players. Spot. Yeah, the roster. Yes, that's a good point. That's a legitimate point. If the roster spot is worth more than the, you know, $3 or $4 million that they give up for the rest of the season in terms of what his salary would be, then yeah, I'm in agreement. Go ahead and do it.
Fair. Moving on to my next point, along the same lines, Stroud versus the inside linebackers. We already touched on it, talking about developing talent. We have Jay Higgins, Buchanan, Simpson, and Hummel on the back end. We really need to prepare for the eventual departure of Roquan Smith, and I think this is the perfect game, well, the perfect stretch while Roquan is out to really experiment to see who's ready for that challenge. Naturally, you would say Buchanan because he's gotten a lot of the reps in the game time at linebacker. We know that it can't be Simpson because he just can't process the game at that speed at the linebacker position. So he still needs to be developing at the will. And we didn't really see it in Kansas City. I mean, he gave up that touchdown in the flat to the running back. He just stood there like an idiot and didn't make a move and watched Mahomes throw a touchdown right over his head. So we need to continue to see development from those two. And then let's see what Higgins can do in real game action. I mean, he looked good in the preseason, like we mentioned, but can we continue to see that defying speed that eluded the drafters during the process? And now can we see him show that onto the field and make some splash plays? We're not asking him to be Ray Lewis, Roquan Smith, CJ Mosley. We're just asking him to do his job and do it well.
And I, you know, they like him as a special teams player. I think that's a reasonable expectation. The guy I don't really see a lot of value in putting him out there. And this would go even if he's maybe marginally the Ravens' best option at the place, meaning best to try and win this game, is Jake Hummel. I don't see the value in it. He's a fourth-year player. He's a free agent at the end of the season. Yeah, the Ravens might want to keep him on to do this kind of thing. And there's a certain value to having a long-term player is like an Albert McClellan, but he's not under contract for an extended period. So if you want to have a guy like there jump in at the Mike position in particular, which is what they'd be asking him to do, I'm not sure that that's the right call. I would rather they try and figure out if Buchanan could do the job, even if he's a little short. And I think that'll be the first option, by the way. I think it will be. I actually was concerned, by the way, that Buchanan might be hurt because he left the game, didn't play at all in the fourth quarter this last week. And I would love to hear the explanation of that. Was he benched because he didn't play well and now he's going to get another chance? You know, what exactly is going on? Because they'd leaned on him fairly extensively over these first four games and more so with each passing game. I've been making the point that, you know, you're getting him reps because you want to have him be Roquan's backup. Yep. And yet then they had a chance where they needed Roquan's backup, absolutely, and they didn't take it. Very surprising. Yeah,
potentially because they pulled – at that point, they had pulled the starters, unless I'm mistaken, and obviously he needs to keep developing, but they really didn't want a potential starter to get hurt because they had Higgins and Trenton in at the game at that time, I'm assuming, right? And Hummel?
It would be Hummel, not Higgins. He hasn't played defense yet. Okay. It would be Hummel and Simpson were playing together at that point.
So, yeah, they probably just didn't want him to get hurt while they have a chance to just be proactive about the situation. That's my assumption.
It could be. It's a legitimate thing. It would be nice, you know, to see him. But you get less of the reacting to a star quarterback on the other side because that was pretty close to the point where Kansas City pulled Mahomes in the game, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was just a tough situation for the linebacker group. I'm hoping this week, now that we're prepared to not be without Roquan, that we have a better plan, especially on third downs. Who's going to be the linebackers? Will we go to dime? Will we not? Will we be committed to nickel? Is Trenton Simpson going to be able to cover the second or third level? So a bunch of different stuff. Higgins as well. Who's been able to show flashes of getting interceptions during the preseason. Seems like he knows where to drop. He knows where the zones are. He knows where the concepts seem to be. So, I mean, and also Buchanan does well too. So it's going to be exciting to see these young guys. I'm hoping we don't get blown out. So it could be exciting and just watching them develop, make mistakes in real time, and seeing how we can continue to develop this linebacker group that hasn't drafted a successful linebacker since Mosley, which is very hard to say.
It definitely feels like the Ravens season is at an inflection point here where, depending on literally the result of the Texans game, because I think that's their best chance to win one of the next two games, while hopefully that's the extent of how long Lamar is out.
Yep.
But if they win one of these two games at 2-4, they're really still in the AFC North race. If Lamar can come back, if they can, you know, have some general injury returns. By the way, one of the biggest asks you can ever have is that you get injury returns. Almost always the direction and the flow of injuries is to make the situation worse and not better, even when you have a lot of injuries to start. You still can get worse, believe me. And we've seen it happen any number of times in the past, particularly in some of the years where they lost their entire secondary, like 2007. It can get worse, is always how it is. So even though it seems terrible right now,
yeah,
more things can happen on the defensive line, at inside linebacker, at outside linebacker for sure, at corner, to make this an even worse situation. And hoping on health fixing the unit is probably not going to work out in 2025. So anyway, we may know after the Texans game, certainly if it's a loss, that the Ravens are largely playing for 2026. And if they win, then they're right back in the race. They've got a tough game against the Rams to potentially go 3-3. And then, you know, all arrows are pointing up at that point. But if they win to go 2-3 and then drop to 2-4, I'm still fairly optimistic about their chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah. And it's a really weird spot to be in as a Ravens fan, because I don't even know the last time we've not been in contention at the beginning of the season. Then maybe at the end of the season, probably after we've lost Lamar a couple times, but this early, it's like demoralizing. It's like,
yeah, 2015 was the last time they were out of contention early. And that was due to the Suggs injury in week one. And, you know, then about week 10 or 11, they lost Flacco as well for the rest of the season. So,
and Smith, all that. So it was bad.
Yeah. All right. Outstanding. Always great doing the show with you, Frazier. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
You guys can reach me at Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. Other folks out there, thanks so much for listening. Please show the show to one new person who might like this kind of content. Like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. And that will help drive some additional listeners here. Much appreciate your loyalty. For Frazier Tafari, this is Ken McCusick saying goodbye. We'll talk to you next time on Matchups.